1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
You know, we run flashbacks on our show, we like to say, and it's true, we're the only talk show in probably the history of the medium to actually play back bits. And we actually get requests for bits from past shows, and we play them back, and we call them our flashbacks. You can request a flashback if you heard something on a show that you want to hear again. You can email us at phs@philhendryshow.com. If you're new to our show, a great place to go is our website, www.philhendryshow.com, and you'll hear tons and tons and tons, hours of material. And we are adding another, I would say, we've got, I don't know how many hours worth, but we got a series of discs from our friend Christopher in, where are you at, Christopher? Where's he at? He's in, he's in Vista. That's where the Swede lives, dude. Say hello to the Swede, Christopher Jeter, who sent us an enormous amount of material that he had kept, recordings of the Phil Hendry Show going back years, including some KVEN stuff. Now, we're talking like 1990, August of 1990, when we first started doing this particular kind of show. So if you go to the website, www.philhendryshow.com, you'll hear that stuff being posted increasingly over the next few days and weeks. The other thing that I am very, very happy to announce, we're going to begin to very slowly but surely add material from the pre-March 2004 period. Now, that may not be significant for a lot of you guys, but in March of 2004, the Federal Communications Commission wagged its finger, and all the broadcasters in America put on their knee pads and went running back to Washington, D.C. to see what they could get for them. And the FCC handed down some, you know, blurry, not founded in any law, edict on decency, which rather than challenge it legally, the broadcasters of America wiped their mouths, took off their knee pads, and ran back to their radio stations and implemented this. And so as a result, we were unable to air any material prior to March of 2004 for fear that someone at the FCC might lower the boom. And when, you know, thank you, Janet Jackson. It wasn't Opie and Anthony. It wasn't any of that. It wasn't Howard Stern. No, it was Janet Jackson and CBS and the Super Bowl. How about that? Isn't that interesting? After all of that talk about Howard Stern and Opie and Anthony and the rest of these guys, you want to know what made our lives miserable? Janet Jackson, that cow. Forgive me. I'm usually a gentleman, but hey, why be a gentleman when we're talking about this chick who gets up there and shows me something that I'm never going to be able to touch? I find that very wrong. She goes and says, oh, oops. How do you like that? Isn't that just the definition of, oh, I'm sorry. My breast just happened to flop out. Anyway, so that fine lady. You know what? I'm sure you're just great, Janet. Just please, just understand, you're done. You're done. You were done before that Super Bowl, baby. All right. Now, I don't know why, I'm beginning to think about her and how much I want her. And it's completely sidetracked me. We are now able to put a lot of that material on a website. So we're very, very happy about that. And as we've already got the largest collection of archived radio material from our own show than any radio show in the world. And why is that? Because we've got stuff that's worth saving. Why do other shows not have as much? Because they'd just as soon rather not remember they did it. Just the sooner they can degauss that tape, man, the better. All right, so that's good news. The other is that we want to continue to direct you to our friends at sweetfeatheryjesus.com. It's a great place to connect with Phil Hendry fans, a great place to discuss different things on the show, just different stuff, period. There's some real sick and twisted people over there, our kind of people, at Sweet Feathery Jesus. And we have a souvenir shop, too, on our website. If you want to pick up, and we've got some new, dig this, we got Bradley Military Academy stuff coming out, bud.
You mean that kid?
R.C. Collins, yeah. And so we're going to have that on the website in our souvenir shop, as well as our Best of the Phil Hendry Show 2005 Best of CD, all of the CDs, and all the money that we raise goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. All right, so that's going to be coming up in a few minutes, our flashback. I want to read some email, and by the way, if I haven't told you this already, I'll tell you that you can send us an email, the same place you send us a request for a flashback, at phs@philhendryshow.com, phs@philhendryshow.com. We try to respond to everyone. Occasionally, we will respond to you with an FU or some kind of a vulgarity. Please forgive us, but it just seems like the thing to do at the time.
And now, email.
That's what you wanted to do, huh? You wanted to intro the email.
Yeah.
What a pig. Oh, Jesus, man. What did you eat?
Just the garlic chicken.
So you intro the email segment, then belch garlic into my face. Go wipe your mouth. Here's an email. This is from Brian David Lansrud, PhD, Los Alamos, New Mexico. Wow. He writes, Phil, bless you for calling a coward a coward. This country was founded on the bravery of men who refused to live under an onerous government. John Hancock was the first to sign the Declaration of Independence precisely because it was an act of treason in the eyes of the King of England. Yes, the fathers must be rolling in their graves watching an American citizenry that is frightened to exercise the freedom with which we were born. This guy's talking about those Muhammad pictures, in case you didn't know what he's talking about. Those Muhammad pictures, which still are not in any mainstream press. And now, I know that Fox, I think, put them up at one point. CNN hasn't. I mean, what does that tell? What is that about? I don't understand that. I bet there's more cats talking about Cheney putting buckshot into some guy's ass, but nobody wants to put those Muhammad pictures up. It's like these guys are thinking, now, you want to see some real hard journalism, man? I'll give you some real hard-ass journalism. Cheney fired buckshot into a guy's rear end. Yeah, but how about them Muhammad pictures with a fuse coming out of his beard? Well, we don't want to, you know, insult any. You just want to call Bush this and Cheney that and everybody else, because that's some real hard-nosed journalism, baby. But call a freaking spade a spade when it comes to some of these rag wearers. No thank you. What is this music? What am I, in the middle of Rama or the jungle?
It's all I could find. You're the one who told me not to belch up.
What's that got to do with you putting crap music on? By the way, anybody know who Don Bowles is? Not the cat that's in the rock band. Don Bowles was a reporter for the Arizona Republic. Anybody, do you know this story? Don Bowles was investigating organized crime in Arizona. He worked for the Arizona Republic. He got a call on his phone one day from a guy who said, I've got some very good information for you. Meet me such and such a place. Don Bowles went out there, talked to the guy, got back in his car, turned the ignition. The car exploded. It took Don Bowles 11 days to die, but before he did die, he was able to mention one name to investigators, the name Adamson. That was the guy who had invited him to this meet. They were able to, through that name, arrest the guys that perpetrated this crime. Don Bowles was murdered because he was a reporter doing his job. Now, this is back when there was a thing called Watergate, and we had guys like Woodward and Bernstein. I mean, there was a real threat to your career back in those days. I mean, Nixon was going to pull the TV license of the Washington Post television stations. He was trying to shut the paper down. Guys like Don Bowles were getting murdered. Now what do we got? We got reporters who, 3 months after the Army releases the memo saying they're investigating it, they're going to investigate Abu Ghraib. And what do they come up with? Underwear on the head, man. That's some real hard-nosed stuff going on there, baby. You're really ripping the lid off of that one. Or they're going to go running around looking for Bush's National Guard record, chasing down, memos written in crayon. And what they think getting their ass kicked is going to jail for contempt. This guy, Don Bowles, got blown to bits. And you want to know what happened? I want to tell you something. This was the best part of what was otherwise a tragic, terribly tragic story. The man was a father and a husband. But he was a reporter. And he knew the playing field. He knew what he was up against. He was investigating organized crime, but he didn't back down. And he got murdered for it. But what happened after Don Bowles died was one of the great moments in American journalism history. 23 American newspapers and magazines picked up Don Bowles' investigation and ran with it. Newsday out of New York. I mean, I can't even name the newspapers. Editors and reporters from all over the country took over his work and continued the investigation. And in the months that followed, hundreds of thousands of different leads, arrests, organized crime was in this country was shaken. As a result of journalists saying, when you murder a reporter, you're basically attacking freedom of the press. There's not too many crimes in this murders in this country, they're going to be investigated more than or as rigorously as the murder, say, of a police officer. One of them is when you kill a journalist. Now, why am I bringing all of this up? Because here's a guy, Don Bowles, who knew what was it about. He knew what being a reporter was about. And he went out, he did the job anyway. We got these guys over there, these ragheads going ape because somebody put a crayon up Muhammad's nose. And there isn't one large news gathering agency in this country that wants to do anything about it. They won't put the pictures up because they're afraid. They're afraid. They're afraid. And I was reading, I wouldn't have even talked about this, but I was reading today about Don Bowles. I was online and I just, you know, how one you surf, and there he was. I remembered it exactly when it happened. I remembered hearing about this poor man as he had been blown to bits laying there in this parking lot, and he's telling the cops, Adamson. Now, he lived for another 11 days, an agonizing death. They had to amputate his arms. He eventually passed on. The pieces of garbage that did it to him, they were brought to justice. They got acquitted. Then they were brought back to justice. Then the appeal and this and that. Finally, you know, they're all dead now. One of them died from cirrhosis of the liver, which I think is a perfect way for a scumbag like that to die, rot from the inside out. But this was a reporter. This was a real man. You think we got anything like that these days? Here's what a guy thinks is hard-ass, hard-nosed reporting. Boy, this guy, Bush, he lied. You know, thank you. I haven't heard that one lately, man. I you're really digging up some stuff there, baby. All right, turn the music back up, bud.
This has been Editorial Comment, Phil Henry.
We'll be right back. We'll have a little more email. 1-800-449-8686. Anyway, go ahead, go online, read about Don Bowles, B-O-L-L-E-S. And this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, B-O-L-L-E-S or B-S.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hey, here's Saddam's on a hunger strike. Boy, that's too bad. By the way, they got that Iraqi judge that's doing the thing. He don't care if he's on TV or not. The Iraqi judge that's doing the new Saddam trial, I don't know which phase they're in now. What kind of a courtroom is it? The guy's standing up and screaming and yelling. Did you see that? By the way, see a dentist. Anyway, the Iraqi judge, he couldn't give a sweet Jesus, man. He's sitting there. He's all, yeah, I'm on TV. What about it, baby? But Saddam's looking pretty healthy, but he's on a hunger strike. And so, you know, it might last a whole 2 days. I think he's on his third day. Yeah. That guy going to kill himself? Yeah, like I'm going to grow hair. All right, anyway, here is our flashback. Wait a minute. Jesus, a little bit of peach fuzz coming in here, bud. Here's our flashback. Phil, one of the funniest bits I ever heard was about a black man who had invented a device that he wrapped around his unit. He would tighten the device to make him sound white. He said that people treated him better when he sounded white. I laughed so hard I almost fell on the ground. Could you fish the bit from the archives and play it? I would really appreciate it. Thanks, man. Lance. Yeah, it's called the Cobb-O-Matic. It was a guy by the name of Norm Duncan, and we'll listen to it right now. It's a flashback from our Best of 2005 CD. And I actually got a lot of complaints about this bit from white guys. Like, every time you play that bit to death. No, man, it's just that it kind of hits home with you, that's all. Here it is, a flashback, Mr. Norm Duncan and the Cobb-O-Matic.
You were on our show 2 years ago when you introduced the scrotum tightener, and it's done good business, hasn't it?
Phil, the scrotum tightener has done very, very well, and we're very grateful to Ronco and to the people who produced our infomercial, Jelco International, and also to the great many people who have supported us on air, people who have promoted us on air, and we're very excited that Denise Austin was one of our early proponents.
Tell me about this machine. You thought about it when you were unable to get a hotel reservation. Is that right?
That is correct. What happened originally, Phil, I was traveling through the state of Florida, as a matter of fact, and I was endeavoring to get a hotel reservation in the Fort Lauderdale area, and I called, and I was told that they were sold out. They were full up. I am an African-American, and I did not believe them for whatever reason, and I thought that, you know, if I had a white-sounding voice, maybe I'd be able to get a hotel reservation. It was then that I thought of the scrotum-tightening machine.
Now, this, I don't want to get too graphic, but what it does is it basically squeezes a certain part of the anatomy.
I can demonstrate it for you right now if you want.
Okay. I mean, you did once before, but go ahead.
All right. You clamp it on, and I will turn it on right now. And you will hear my voice change into that, one that is similar to an Anglo-American voice. Let me just... And you hear my voice now. I'm going to tighten it up a little bit.
And you can hear how I sound right now. And so I called. When I turn on the scrotum tightener, I call up, hi, I want a hotel reservation. And they go, right away, sir. And they'll say, what's that noise in the background? So I'm just blending a margarita. Oh, okay. And then I just turn it down and, you know, I'm back to my normal voice, see?
Does that injure the body at all?
No, it's totally safe, Phil. It's 100% safe. And we have sold some, I don't know, in the last 2 years, we sold about 3 million to African-American men all over.
Is this a tough problem, getting they hear a black voice?
You don't know. You don't know whether or not they're telling you they're full up because you're black. You don't know whether or not they're telling you they're full up because they really are. But I found that when I use the scrotum tightener, I have a 50% more likelihood to get a hotel room. And that's why I came up with the Cobb-O-Matic. Now,
okay, now, what is the Cobb-O-Matic?
All right, the Cobb-O-Matic is a device that when strategically placed, shall we say, on the human body, you can make dinner theater reservations because you'll sound old. Now,
why would you want to do that?
I don't know. I got thinking, well, you know, what if I want to make dinner theater reservations? I go, hello, I'd like to make dinner theater reservations, see Burt Reynolds in, you know, The Odd Couple or something at the Jupiter Theater or something like that. Oh, well, you know, sir, we're sold out. I'm thinking, well, yeah, because I'm a black man. Now I'll come up with a Cobb-O-Matic. Now listen to what the Cobb-O-Matic can do. And we're going to be selling this, by the way, Phil. We have an infomercial that's going to be coming out. And check your local listings for it. It's a half-hour program. We're going to have some exciting people. Cher is going to be on with us. George Michael is going to be on with us.
George Michael and Cher help you sell a Cobb-O-Matic?
That's correct. Now, here's the Cobb-O-Matic. And what it does is the Cobb-O-Matic will, and I don't want to be graphic, but you can well imagine.
Can I get 2 tickets for the 8 o'clock show?
Oh, okay, I just turned it off. Jesus.
Dude, that's pretty wild. Do you sell a lot of those?
Not as many as the scrotum device, but I'm trying to think of different things I can do with that. But it's all intended for the African-American who is, having a difficult time negotiating business on the phone and cannot put his finger on the fact that he's being discriminated against. It just so happens that when he calls, we're sold out, this kind of thing.
I like the scrotum tightener. I don't know about the Cobb-O-Matic, dude. I don't know if there's going to be a big...
Well, you know, there are a lot of black people, elderly black people who want to get dinner theater reservations.
Dinner theater? Dude, that's kind of funky, ain't it?
Well, I don't know. I suppose you want to get an early bird. You just turn on the Cobb-O-Matic and go,
yeah, you have reservations for the 8 o'clock?
See?
Okay, dude. Well, listen, Norm, always good talking with you, and the best of luck to you. And
Phil, just a little special. I just want to
say thank you for having me on your program, Mr. Henry. It's been really great.
There he is, Norm Duncan, great inventor. The Cobb-O-Matic and the, thing tightener. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Cobb-O-Matic. The cat can make dinner theater reservations. In other words, that's in high demand. Like they're shutting out African-Americans. Wait a minute, it's a black guy. They got like 3 tables are full. The rest of the joint's empty, but they don't want any black folks in there. See Burt Reynolds in The Odd Couple. Anyway, that's, by the way, is on our Best of 2005 CD. No, it isn't. Last year? When did we do the Cobb-O-Matic? I thought we did that like 2 years ago. Two different ones. Okay, so you can get that on the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2005 CD, which is called Are You For Real? And the proceeds from the sale of our CDs goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. Hey, listen, I got 2 things I want to tell you. Number one, the Bobby Dooley T-shirt. Man, this baby is going like hotcakes. It's the brand new Bobby Dooley Deo Spa Ladies Tee. Hot pink with Bobby Dooley's logo on it. And rich wax and relaxed. And this is for the ladies. You can pick it up in our souvenir shop at www.philhenryshow.com. It's the latest in the long line of Bobby Dooley Western Estate stuff that we've got on our website, including the including the Western Estate spa robe. So the whole thing is it's chick land over there. Check it out. www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So this morning I got up, and what was the first thing I did? Took my daughter to school and then ate the Reese's peanut butter and chocolate heart that she gave me for Valentine's Day. All 6 pounds of it. All right. Way to go, Phil. You know, I've been exercising lately. I know that that sounds like a shock, but you know, there was a time in my life not too long ago. There was a time in my life not too long ago when I was ripped. And thanks, bud, for that little drum thing. No, I wasn't ripped, but I mean, I was in shape. And those days, man, you know, I'm not blaming my wife. I got married. I put on a lot of weight. That's all there is to. I ain't blaming her, but damn, can she rattle them pots and pans. What is it with these women that can cook? Now, the guys can too. I can. But Jesus, after all it's been said and done, after all of the talk, after all the falderall about women having equal rights, getting out of the house, having a career, man, can she cook. After all of the discussion about how women can finally free themselves from the drudgery of housework and go out into a career, into the world and have a career, man, she can sure rattle them pots and pan. She sure as hell can. I got fat eating my wife's cooking, man, and that's it. I'll never forget. In fact, it's healthy because we were married about 6 months, right? And I'm driving down the freeway one day. And what do I see? I see McDonald's. And I thought, boy, my old friend, my old pal McDonald's. And you know what? For kicks, I decided to go in there. And I got myself a quarter pounder with cheese. And I got, you know, ate it, went home. You got it. Poo soup. Oh, my God, man. It was, my guts were just turned inside out. You know, when you eat some of that good home cooking and then you go to the, you think fast food's good for you, which I ain't saying that it's not. I think, frankly, it's just as good for you as anything. But there is a decided difference between that and somebody cooking fresh, right? You eat that good home cooking, then try, go ahead, I dare you to get a bonus check, friend. It'll come out like napalm. Friday, October 3rd. My wife had cooked me pork chops and rice. And a little broccoli side dish. For dessert, a very healthy apple crisp. The next day, driving home, I saw the big, looming face of Jack. That's right, Jack in the Box. It had been a while since I'd visited my brother Jack. I'd been eating my wife's cooking, as healthy as it was, for some 6 months, and I decided to pull into the Jack in the Box. Right there off the freeway, I pulled in. Yes, I'd like to have a bonus jack, please, and some of those delicious onion rings that you make, if you don't mind.
What do you mean?
I got the onion rings and the bonus jack, decided to park the car and eat it in peace while I was reading the want ads. Ate it down, felt pretty good, for about 30 minutes. I got home, had my daughter on my lap, watching the cartoons, talking to my wife about the wonderful day that I'd had, and suddenly I realized that if I didn't do something fast, what felt like a weasel was going to burrow its way out of my... I'm going to burrow its way out.
Oh.
That's right, I died that day. And I speak to you from the hereafter. I'm Kevin Spacey, and this has been American Beauty. No kidding, baby. Anyway, but that was a, you know, good period in my life. Anyway, so now I'm exercising, and I'm feeling pretty good about it. I do what we call the horse walk, which means I go down to this, I go down this road where there's some horses, and then I look at the horses, they look at me. You know, the thing about a horse, you walk by a horse, like, say you're walking down the road. I don't know where you live, but where I live, I can walk down a road, and there's, like, a horse will come up to me. What does it want? It wants an apple. Why? Because the other humans that have walked by, the other bipeds that have come by, usually have something good to eat. Otherwise, a horse couldn't care whether you live or die. Horses are not smart. Dogs are smart. Pigs are smart. I don't eat pork anymore. Did I tell you about that? I did, didn't I? I'm off of pork, baby. I'm not eating no pork. As my main man Samuel Jackson said in Pulp Fiction, what about that Arnold from Green Acres, man? He's got a damn good personality. Think I'm going to eat that? So now, you know, I'm strictly on just cow. Cows are morons. I'll eat them. I ain't eating pig. I'll eat chickens because they don't deserve to live either. And I'll eat turkeys. They can go straight to the hot place, too. Every turkey I eat, I hope the spirit of that thing is on a spit in hell for all they've done for me. But, you know, so, but horses, man, those things are about as dopey as they get. What are you kidding? My friend Flicka. I got your Flicka. And all these things, when they try to make a horse look like it's, you know, like it's got brains, horses are the dumbest thing that ever. They're beautiful creatures. Don't get me wrong. And I don't believe in abusing or mistreating any animal that, you know, reminds me of me, like it has two eyes and it's like a mammal. When we get to the reptile stage, you can probably swing it around by its tail. I don't care. I'm joking. Don't mistreat animals, kids. If there's any kids listening, by the way, your parents are in big trouble because this program is strictly for adults. We're calling Child Protective Services. Anyway, so, you know, you walk down a road and there's the horse comes over, two of them, and they're looking at you and they're waiting for you to pull an apple out of your shorts. Well, it ain't going to happen, man. Maybe a road apple. But tomorrow, maybe I'll bring a freaking apple for these two big horses. And then I turn around and walk back, right? So I'm trying to lose the weight. Now, this morning, I get up and I take my daughter to school because my son, Chris, now has a license. And he, by the way, he's driving that hybrid. We're getting a hybrid. I know you guys thought that I was a lying sack of crap. I'm getting a hybrid. My good friend, Matt Winston, who's on a TV show with us, teachers, Matt has a hybrid. And I got an opportunity to drive around in that Prius. Is that a Honda? Which my son is driving. It's a beautiful thing. You're cutting your gas price in half, man. You're cutting your gas bill in half. I know it doesn't look that great. And I know it's easy for me to say because I've also got, you know, two other cars in the family. But the fact is, I'll do my share. I tell you what, if all you drive is like, if all you got is a Camaro and it's the only way you've got to get laid, I understand. You don't have to get a hybrid. If you're a young guy making your way in life and all you got is your 5-speed Camaro that you keep spotless because it's the only chance remotely that any woman will even talk to you, obviously I don't want you to go out and get a hybrid so that you drive around and you're basically in geek hell. You've done all that work, man. You've toned up. You've gotten your teeth whitened, whatever the hell. And now you're driving around in a hybrid, which basically says, hi, I've thought about it with guys. I mean, it's a pretty dork. It's a dorky looking car. But if you're a married guy like me and you don't care, get one. You don't have to impress anybody anymore. You don't have to impress your wife any longer. She'll love you regardless. Sure, you got that nice looking car, but that's for your girlfriend. Turn that off, but I hate it when you punctuate what I'm saying with that crap. Put something good on or don't put anything on. So anyway, I'm going to get that Prius because When you get this hybrid, this Prius, it has displays on the dash, and it shows you, and you can go to different displays, but it'll go to the actual motor drive or the engine of the car, and it'll show you at what time it is on the internal combustion engine and at what time it's on battery power. It also shows you when the battery is feeding the car and when the use of the internal combustion engine is feeding the battery. So at just about every moment that you're in this car, you see what's happening in terms of the car's power. And it easily cuts your cost of gasoline in half. Now, I can't think of any better way to get our guys and our women home from the Middle East forever than to get a hybrid, get off of foreign oil, and get the hell out of Dodge while the getting's good, man. Did you see what happened yesterday? They burned Ronald McDonald in effigy. You think I'm kidding? Are you ready for that? What has that got to do with the Muhammad cartoon? They're torching Ronald McDonald. Is he our God? They think that we worship him? Oh, so you're going to mess with Muhammad, huh? Well, watch what we do to Ronald McDonald. Now, I don't care. You can burn that guy forever. You know, burn six of them. Man, those cats are so stupid, it breaks all records. Honest to God. I'm not blaming the people. You want to know why they're so dumb over there? Because they've been living in the Middle Ages for so long. They got leaders over there. The guys are nothing more than like these 15th century mullahs. So naturally, the people that live in those countries, I mean, when we talk about the Arab street, they're so stupid. They think that I'm going in and I'm on a mat every day to Ronald freaking McDonald with the big nose. I'm going on my knees five times a day to Ronald McDonald. I ain't. Maybe some of the store managers are, but not me. The only guy I know that goes on his knees five times to Ronald McDonald is Mrs. McDonald. The Phil Henry Show will continue.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, it's time now for some more email. Here's one from Reagan Denius. Phil, what can I say? You're a genius. Thank you. I started listening to your show in seventh grade, my first episode being the black mother who smokes Lucky Strikes and drives her children and the white neighbor's children to school and gets so stressed out she threatens to drive them off a bridge if she can't smoke in a carpool anymore. Since then, I've been a fan and always will be. I had a radio show on a college station for a little bit, mixing electronic music, but one night I decided to pull a Phil Hendry and created this character who just opened up this new bookstore called All in the Family Books. Now, the premise of this store is that this... Oh, get out of here telling me my act to me. You dirty, stinking... Speaking of college radio is a joke. Let me tell you why. No, there's not a broadcast school in America that prepares anybody to be in radio. Not a one. Not one. If they actually wanted to prepare people to be in commercial radio, they'd run it like a commercial station, which means you get your ass kicked if you don't get into the break on time or get out of the break on time, and you only play the music that the high exalted program director slash music director, who can't be reached during the weekend because he and his girlfriend are out, you know, whatever. And you only play that music. You do not deviate from the computer sheet. And if for whatever reason you can't find the record that the high exalted program director told you to play and you can't reach him because he's, you know, getting drunk somewhere on the beach and you play a record because you don't know what else to do, you're fired anyway. Now that gets kids prepared for commercial radio, not this jive college. Look, I like listening to, I like the UC Berkeley station. I like a lot of college stations. The problem is the students that are on those stations, man, they get into the commercial world. They get eaten up and spit out, man. They get sent home with that just pump the neighbor's cat look on their face. All right, dear Phil, there are more great lines in the movie When You Coming Back, Red Rider, than any other movie I've ever seen. Let me know if you need a copy. No, thank you. Dear Phil, I just heard Dean Wheeler, political science professor from College of Marin. I'm a political science student from College of Marin, and you're not too far off with Professor Wheeler's attitude. I have to live it. Luckily, it's a community college, and I don't pay much, and I'll be gone in a year. Here's William Jason, who's a sergeant in the United States Army. He says, Dear Phil, I first heard your show a couple of years ago in the barracks, and I haven't looked back. I listened that night and got it, but more importantly, you get it. As a Democrat, you've decided not to toe the party line and call a spade a spade. I'm a conservative Republican, but I'll agree with you before I agree with Rush Limbaugh. Plus, I got a laugh out of the whole deal. Kind of makes me feel like doing a hitch kick. You're awesome. Don't go changing. Jason Williams, United States Army. And this is from Tommy T, who writes, Phil, it still intrigues me how many people listen to your show and they don't get it. You say how you run the show and what it is about how many times over and over, and listeners still call in to argue. Well, I listen to the podcast at work all day long while in the office, and most of the people get it, except for one guy. This guy continuously comes in and starts yelling at the radio being played. He especially hates Lloyd Bonafide, calling him a racist PRI thing. The Japanese steakhouse bit where Lloyd stated over and over that he wanted to grab the chef's face and press it into the grill. The Japanese steakhouse bit where Lloyd stated that he wanted to grab the chef's face and press it into the grill really got to him. It got to him. The most hysterical part of this is, just like you, I explained to him the whole ridiculous jargon that the characters spew, and he still don't get it. What a dumbass. Thanks, Tommy T. Thank you, Tommy. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back, 1-800-449-8686.
So we're back at the television show tomorrow. As they say in the business, I have an 11 o'clock call. You don't have to play music. Wait a minute. This is Watermelon Man.
Dig this?
It's pretty good.
Watermelon Man.
Wait a minute. Would you play it? I know it. Get out of here, you racist punk. Anyway, we'll be back at it tomorrow. Hope you can join us on April the 6th, 9:30 p.m. on NBC for Teachers. Let me tell you what. Number one, first and foremost, three beautiful women to look at. Number one is Sarah. Well, I'm not. This is not in the order of their beauty, but we have Sarah Alexander, hot-looking little limey number. I know she'll understand me using the phrase limey. Sarah Shahi, who is smoking hot. Kali Roca, who we all saw in a flimsy burnous the other day. Kali's got, oh, she's gorgeous. She's funny, too, but what a, anyway. And then we've got, for you ladies, four hunky guys. Me, Matt Winston, Justin Bartha, and Dion Richmond. One's Jewish, two are Jewish, one's black, and the other's me. So you can't beat that, baby. Teachers, NBC, watch it. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. See you tomorrow night.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.